Hey, Dreamers, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner, CEO of CLNS Radio. Identify your goals and your dreams young. Use Joe Pardo's podcast as part of that planning process and keep on dreaming with the Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with rapper, South Jersey native, Rich Quick.
Yeah! We out here.
Who is making his dreams come true still by putting out a new album very, very soon.
Yes, September 28th, the Everywhere Man drops on Soul Spasm. Really excited to release that project. Really excited to still bring to y'all new singles and videos and new music. There's so much more to come in the future. I'm terribly excited about it.
And not only the new album, but you just got back from Europe, touring around and playing everywhere.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like, definitely a life-changing experience for me. I'm floating on a cloud right now, man. I don't even think I could be happier.
Well, that makes two of us, man, for sure, for sure.
The dreamer cloud, the dreamers.
So what cities were you in Europe?
So I was mainly my tour was mainly a UK tour. So I mainly toured the UK, and we passed by a lot of spots I've never heard of in my life. A lot of cities that I've never even heard of in the UK. But it was so crazy because from city to city that you go. So first off, it's a lot of big cities there. I didn't realize that. Like, you hear about London, you know what I mean, or Manchester, but you don't hear about like other cities like Birmingham. It's like huge cities.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that big. I mean, I've heard of it, but I didn't realize it was big.
It's like. You know, and like Liverpool, I didn't realize that Liverpool was a big, it's like a New York City style city.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Huh. Well, I was not aware of that. I've never been to London yet or England in general, but it's in the cards.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to visit. It's kind of, you know, it's like here in the sense that they speak English, but everything, my experience in Europe is everything is the same, as in you're on the same planet, except for everything is just slightly different than it is here. Like everything, you know, even to use a soda machine over there, you got to stop for a second and be like, how is this working? You know what I mean? Which when you're in an English speaking country is cool because things are in English and you can read them.
Right.
When you're someplace else, that could be a little problem.
So what countries did you go through?
I only went to the UK and the Netherlands and like Amsterdam. And that was where everything was primarily in Dutch. And I don't speak Dutch. And I heard it, like, before I went over there, you know, people were telling me, like, oh, you know, everyone speaks English. It won't be that big of a deal. Well, it's like, yeah, everyone does speak English. They don't always want to speak English, especially not to you. You know what I mean?
Well, my experience was if you went into a store, they spoke English because that's,
right,
you know, they want to sell you stuff or you want you to buy stuff, so.
Right, but I found even in a store, there was a situation where we had really bad acid reflux, heartburn, and
as in
everyone, and so we go off looking for, and it's me and my manager Chelly, we go off looking for heartburn medicine.
Right.
So first thing that we think about doing is finding a pharmacy, except for, you know, everything's in Dutch. So we're just looking around. We found a grocery store, and we asked a gentleman in the grocery store for antacid, and he took us to pineapples. And we were like, no, not pineapples. And so, you know, he kind of gave up on us after pineapples. And so we kind of were walking around ourselves looking for, like, a pharmacy section of this grocery store. We finally found one. And everything was in Dutch. So you, when it comes to, like, medicines and things like that, you don't want to just take something.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So we're trying to read the packages and, like, recognize some sort of word that is familiar or a illustration or something. And we find this heartburn medicine, and my manager is looking at it. He's like, I don't know, man. I'm like, come on, man, it's heartburn medicine. Look at the illustration on there. The guy's got his heartburn. And he was like, yeah, but I don't want to get it and have it also be, like, you know, a laxative or something. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you're doing. So, but a lot of times we would try and ask somebody for help, and they, you know, sometimes they'd be willing to help, and then other times it's just like, it's kind of like it is here with people that, you know, people looked at me like, why are you here if you don't speak the language? You know what I mean? Like, why are you disrespecting, you know, where I live?
Right.
And, of course, you know, it wasn't like that. I didn't feel like I was disrespecting or anything like that, but, you could kind of sense that from some people. But for the most part, they were very, especially on my UK tour, they were very accommodating and made me feel right at home. And there was a lot of things that reminded me of home.
So how long were you over there for?
I was over there for almost the whole month of August.
Wow. How did you get off from work?
I kind of asked work if I could have off because, you know, I had this big opportunity. And, you know, I've been working there for 10 years, and they kind of been following what I've been doing. And it's not like, you know, I'm not, like, making this stuff up. You know what I mean?
It's yeah, I'm going to Europe.
Right. It's documented. My moves are documented. So everything that I do.
2 weeks later, you show up, and you're like, yeah, I just came in to get some things.
Yeah,
like,
right.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, so they know I'm not, like, you know, pulling their leg. But I spoke with my manager about it, and he said, listen, for me to hold you back from something like this would be a terrible thing for me to do. He's like, it's a once in a lifetime experience, you know, to come your way, and I'm not going to be the one that holds you back from it. So absolutely go. We'll hold you down back here. We'll be here when you get back. And there was a lot of love there because they didn't have to do that. And, you know, this is a multi-billion dollar company. I'm totally replaceable. But they, like, had me on their team, and they gave me all the support that I needed to go and have that experience. And man, it changed my life. So I'm really happy they allowed me to go.
Well, I am too. And so, I mean, how many shows did you actually play while you were over there in Europe?
I think we played 18 shows. I think we played 18.
Wow, so almost, like, every other day you were...
Yeah, pretty much every day. Because the last couple of days, unless it was like a travel day.
Oh, okay.
Which
okay.
A travel day pretty much takes all day to get, you know, from one place to the next. That was the travel days are the most difficult thing about being on tour. You're rushing around, you know, you could potentially miss the train or miss the bus or miss the plane or, you know what I mean? There was at one point,
and you got commitments on the other end of that train,
right? Exactly,
or bus
exactly. So it's nerve wracking. You got to leave hours in advance. And if you're on tour, you know that, you know, your sleep schedule is already messed up. You're not trying to wake up extra early in the morning and things like that. There's so many things that are stressful about a travel day on tour.
Right. Now, was it just you that was on tour with your manager, or did you have, like, a bunch of other rappers with you?
So the whole reason for this tour is that I linked with a producer from Chicago named Ridiculous. He produced a record for me called Buy Me a Beer. And that record became one of my popular records. And actually, I went on the United States, the East Coast Buy Me a Beer tour prior to going to Europe. But
yeah, I think I recall that.
They so that producer's name is Ridiculous. So shouts out to Ridiculous. He was also booked on the tour for the UK leg of the tour. So he would do like a producer set before I would do my set. Which basically he showcased his beats and allowed MCs to rhyme over the beats. It was really dope. He also has an app called Platforms with a Z, and you can, and I'm so used to saying Platforms with a Z because that's what they said over there. But it's Platforms with a Z. You can download it and check out music from some really great underground talent. Including myself, you can get all my new music on the Platforms app. So Ridiculous, really great guy, and we kind of shared in that tour experience. Even though we met each other once before that, and then he produced a record, and so we didn't really know each other. But we became best friends on tour because that's the way you got to do it on tour. Especially we're the only Americans. He's from Chicago, we're from here, so. Basically anytime something happened that was like askew or strange, all the Americans kind of looked at each other like, "Oh, that was not like America."
Now I'm curious, like what's the metrics of going on tour, like to Europe, right? Like, were you able to break even or even make some money on tour?
No, I mean, I would, to be quite honest, I don't know exactly what was, how that worked out.
Like, did you have to cover your own room, or was that somebody?
No, I didn't have to pay for much of anything. But at the same time, like there was problems with the money situation this time. There was things that we just didn't know that we had to learn while we were there, and. Fortunately we learned them. It was too late.
We were also doing it with exchange rates and stuff like that
was,
too.
That was a big thing. That was one of the shockers. You know, you go there with money and then all of a sudden you have half the money that...
In Britain, but in Europe, with the euro, I think the euro is actually a little weaker than the dollar.
Yeah, that's true. We were going to Britain, and as soon as I got there, they took half my money. So it was like, you know what I mean? It cost me money to just step on their soil. So credit card fraud is really big in the UK. So almost no place takes your credit card.
Really?
And sometimes they'll ask you if it's an American credit card, and then they won't take it then. Or they won't take it unless it has one of those chips in it, or, you know what I mean? There's always a reason for them not to take your credit card.
Wow.
And so wasn't anticipating that. The ATM stole ate my manager's cash card. So it's like, here we are, we got all this merch and like no money. So we had to sell the merch. And we did. We sold all the merch, and that was the cash that we had. But by the end of the tour, it was like we were running out of cash. We only had, X amount. We kind of had to save some for, an emergency in case something were to happen. So basically I say all that to say this, it's an investment.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely.
And the next time that we go back, it's going to be much stronger. It's probably going to flip twice over. And that's just from experience in the United States. Like, I know the first time that I performed in Massachusetts, like 6 people came to the show. Then the next time, like 12 people came to the show. But then the next time, like 40 people came to the show. You know what I mean? It's just the way. Right. It's just the way that it works. You make more money as you go on and build these relationships.
Definitely. I mean, it's like that with most things that you can do that aren't just walking in and selling something that, that has a purpose.
Right.
You know, like the need or fulfilling a need, you know, a need right there on the spot. So, so with your album, what kind of stuff did you do with your album now? Like, is it like, what have you done? Did you do anything different from your last one? Your last was an EP.
So, yeah. So basically, I'm with the DJ was more like boom bap, raps, you know, real DJ oriented, underground hip hop, basically.
Right.
Then I kind of evolved into the sad songs, studio, live instrumentation, a well-produced EP, studio EP, more on the pop side than the underground hip hop side, I would say. Still hip hop though. With the Everywhere Man, I kind of combine the two. So I kind of took elements of both, the songwriting from sad songs combined with the, you know, the rapidy raps of I'm with the DJ. And we even got you know, some dope DJs on there. Shouts out to my man DJ Soulbuck, my man Jay Hart, contributed to the project, and really added that element that I thought was important, because it's where I came from. I think that the fans will really appreciate this project, just for the eclecticness of it. It's different. It's the evolution. It's just the evolution of you know, me.
Mm.
From where I started till now.
No, that's awesome. I'm just really looking forward to it. You said September 28th, right?
September 28th on Soul Spasm, yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, that'll be on iTunes?
That'll be on iTunes. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be everywhere that you can think. You know, we got distribution now. It'll be everywhere. The Everywhere Man is everywhere,
as
man.
As the title says, yes. Is it available for pre-order, or do you?
It is. It actually is. It's available for pre-order on iTunes. I would really encourage you to please pre-order this project, because that help. If for nothing else, because it helps me out a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Climb up the charts and
right,
all that.
Right.
And then it gets more exposure.
Exactly. Yeah.
That you can get, you know, get more sales, and then you can continue to pursue this dream and make more music for more people and do all that. And
right.
And sometimes people don't always see that. They, you know, they see the money side of it. And
yeah. Yeah. They forget that I'm actually, like, you know, trying to make something with my life.
Well, you know, it's important that that we try to support each other where and when we can, because that's you know, what is having friends and being alive.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, all we got is us, and it's one thing that I try not to lose sight of, especially if someone were to need my help with something. Because it's easy, it becomes easy to say no after a while, but you just can't. You have to remember that it's a perpetual thing. Like, it's like, it goes back and forth. All we got is us, and we need each other. So
I'd agree. There's plenty of, people that don't want to necessarily support anybody doing anything, because, you know, I guess deep down maybe they're jealous that they aren't doing it.
I don't even think it's so much that, as much as it's just like convenience, and you know what I mean. People don't want to go out of their way.
Right. No, that's very true. You know, sharing stuff on Facebook is tough, especially if it's something that they can't just view the video right in Facebook and it takes them out of Facebook.
Right,
it's very tough to get people to go.
There's a bunch of and let's face it. I mean, you can't be everywhere at once. You can't do everything. You can't help everyone. So this much we understand. All I'm saying is that we should always help when we can.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. What was I going to ask you? The other thing that was going on is I've noticed that you're when you post these flyers up that you're doing this show and this show and this show, I've noticed that your name is getting closer and closer to the top, and in some cases being right at the top of these flyers for shows.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, and although it's not one of those things that I get lost in. Some artists actually, won't even do a show if they're not at the top of the bill, or if they're not headlining the show, or if their name isn't in big. I really try not to pay too much attention to it, because I never want to be that artist. I never want to be lost in that. I never want to look at a flyer and say, "Oh my name is too small on that flyer. Send it back. Call this person that designed it. This can't happen." But there's people like that in this world,
But sometimes it's warranted, right? It depends on like who you're playing against or playing with in the same show, right?
Right.
Like,
that's
so
true.
Like if you two was showing up at the same show at the same festival that you were, like, your name's not going to be at the top.
Right, right, exactly.
And if they got you two, there's probably acts that are just under you two, and just under, and under and under. So, it's all about perspective,
That is very true. And there's even when I share, this is quite often, when I share bills with my friends, we're not in competition like, oh, so-and-so's name's before mine, or is in a bigger font, or whatever. Although it is a good feeling when you get booked for a show and that flyer comes out and you see that you're, headlining the show, or you're one of the bigger artists that they're promoting being on the show. That's a really dope feeling. It's a sense of accomplishment. It's because I've been not even they used to not even put me on the flyer at all. You know what I mean? They used to spell my name wrong. They used to put
Rick. How do you spell Rich Quick wrong?
Rick Quick.
Yeah.
the timeless way to get at me is call me Rick. But, these things aren't promised. So I'm very grateful, for that. And it is something that I have noticed, like a change from years ago till now.
Do you feel the weight of that? Like you're supposed now, like, hey, my name's at the top of this. I need to promote more I understand what you just said about it. You trying not to let it affect you, but it does come with a certain weight, like a certain responsibility. Like, hey, my name's at the top of this. This is my name here. So if 10 people show up instead of 100, it's like, part of that, I would feel like it's on me.
No, I don't feel.
I know there's promoters and stuff too.
There's promoters, and I'm not a promoter. I'm an artist. I do promote. I don't lose any sleep over it though, because I can only promote what I can promote. I can only, I know,
right.
My fans know how to find out where I'll be. And I have a great team of people that promote also. I personally don't feel the pressure of that. However, I could see how one would feel that pressure, and it does have there is a level of responsibility there. But like I said, I really don't like to get caught up in the whole being at the top of a poster thing, because that's such a little thing in the grand scheme of the game to be concerned about. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to be at the top of people's, you know, best rapper alive list, let alone their flyer for the show.
Right, right, right. Well, it's all about the experience, and even if only 10 people did show up, you give them a great experience.
These pictures are killing me, bro.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. They're from last December.
Every time one pops up, I keep catching myself glancing over at them.
So has there been any new disappointments or roadblocks that you've encountered?
I was kind of lost there for a little while, in terms of, like, I wasn't churning out much creatively. I wasn't going out on the scene myself, aside from things that I was involved with. Maybe I was being a little reclusive. But I'm finally coming out of that, taking better care of myself, taking less for granted in terms of my fan base. Every once in a while, you kind of, like, you know, it goes up and down. So sometimes you fall into a pit and you're not in the best place where you should be. And I think I just came from one of those places. Now, I've been really focused on, of course, basically what happened is I was about to go to Europe and you know, they lit a fire up under me. And I knew that I was going to be in full work mode once I was in Europe. And I really wasn't doing anything. And I say that loosely because I always continuously work.
You have an album coming out, so yeah, you had to have done that at some point.
Yeah, that's what I did. That's basically what I did. But there was, basically, I wasn't doing much. And then a few weeks prior to me going to Europe, I was like, oh my God, I'm about to go to Europe and I'm going to have to do all this work and I'm totally in chill mode. So I'm like, I got to get out of chill mode and get back into work mode. So I called up everyone and I'm like, listen, you know, whatever work you got for me, send it my way. I'll do it. If you're in the studio, call me up. I'll come. And I did that stuff every day for almost 2 weeks. Every single day I was in the studio with somebody else. And that really got me going. I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. Then I went to Europe, and that inspired me on a whole other level. And then once I came home, you know, my best friend had gotten married. That inspired me on a whole other level. So now I'm like, I'm ready to go. And I'm promoting the album, so there's no better time to be in work mode than right now when I should be working. So there is, and it might just be a personal thing, that there was a roadblock there for a little while. And I've seen you several times during the course of that roadblock. I'm sure you didn't notice, but it's just, I think it's probably inspiration. I was feeling uninspired, and then sometimes in order to be inspired, you got to look for the inspiration. And that's what I did. I knew that once I went to Europe, things were going to change for me. But I kind of had to gear myself up to be in that experience, whereas I could tackle that experience in the right way.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally understand about the going from work mode to not work mode, and trying to balance the two so you don't get burned out either when you're in work mode. And yeah, because you could do things for a day or two or three, but then after like the fourth or fifth day, it starts to, you know, it starts to wear on you a little bit.
I'm the king of getting burnt out, which I really don't get burnt out. I go crazy, insane, and they check me into a hospital. But I can't figure, at this point in my life, I'm not sure if I like that or not. Like, it doesn't sound like a fun thing to lose your mind, but when I do, when it happens, I know that I just released a banging project and people love it. and they got me running around all crazy, doing all sorts of crazy things. So it's it, you know what I mean? It's like a weird kind of feeling, because every time I release a project, you know, it seems I lose my mind. You know, didn't lose my mind yet, but there's something about this game, Joe, that I love, man. I just love it. I keep doing it. I keep going right back.
That's true.
So,
well, speaking of things that you love, what was a recent favorite memory for you since we last saw each other, which was like, what was it, the 1 year anniversary show back in April, or I don't even know what my 1 year anniversary show was.
Nah, I think that was it April?
April 15th? April 18th? I don't know. Something. I think it was April. Wow. May? Maybe it was May. I don't know. I should probably know this.
that 1 year anniversary show was a happy memory for me, honestly. That was a feel good night.
It was.
Might have been the margaritas. but that was so much fun. There was a lot of love in the building. So that's actually one of my happy memories in recent memory. Obviously going to Europe and talking to my fans out there, talking to the rap fans in general out there, and they mentioned, you know, artists that I know personally as you know, artists that they listen to. That was really dope.
Oh, wow.
Because I could come home and tell those people, it's like, yo, they were talking about you in Europe. And so that made me happy. There's so much to be thankful for right now, and it's hard for me to think of any one happy thought or memory. It just I'm in a really good space right now.
So, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share, like, or you know, the things that you've come to realize?
I'm still on the follow your dream wave. This is Dreamers Podcast after all. I'm still doing it, and I think that it's inspiring to a lot of people. And I'm sure that you've heard this recently also with the book and you know, the successes of everything else. When you pursue your dreams, it inspires people to pursue their dreams. And there's a lot of people that told me, like, you know, before I saw you did this or you did that, I didn't even think that it was a possibility for me to do it. And then, you know, I went out and did it. So I want to keep inspiring people to do these things. Why not? We're only here for a certain period of time, so we can get in somebody's box and stay there, or we could go out and, you know, be free. This is our life. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, I mean, we only get so many hours in a day, in a week, in a year,
right?
And so many years, so. You know, you don't know what's going to come of it, and you need to make the most of it. Doesn't mean you got to go jump out of a plane today, but no. It does mean that you need to spend time and figure out what it is that, you know, makes you tick and what makes you happy. And even if it's not to, you know, make it, you know, your career or whatever, to just do, you know, figure out what it is, because there's a lot of people out there that don't. They just check in, check out, and
sometimes it's not even always about sometimes people feel that the things that they do are just insignificant because it's a big world out there. But as long as it's important to you, first off, it's important to somebody else. If it's important to you, you represent a certain percentage of the world,
right?
people forget that also. But if it's going to make you happy, you should do it. If it's going to make other people happy, you should do it. Why? What? Because otherwise, what is the point? Like, I would hate to think that I was put here on this planet to mix paint for the Home Depot. Although the Home Depot needs somebody to mix paint for them.
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? But I would hate to think that that's my whole life's purpose. Like, that's what I'm here to do. So I shoot for more, and I try to do other things. I would encourage, you know, other people to do the same. And just like what you're doing with the podcast and with the book and raising money, more people need to do these things because they can, because it's totally possible, and you know, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference.
It does, and sometimes you have to not get lost in the idea of, like, okay, if it affects just one or two people, you know, what's the effect of that? Because, you know, sometimes we get lost in the idea of, well, you know, if I can't affect thousands and tens of people,
see, it's,
like,
it's not,
well,
even,
that's not worth it.
Yeah, that's, and it's so worth it to help one person. Even when I think about myself, like, there was people that helped me, and I'm one person. Now I'm in a position where I can help a lot of people. But when I got help from people, I wasn't helping nobody. So it was just one person that you're affecting. But what you wound up doing is helped a lot of people because, you know, it carries on.
Yeah, amplified their message
right
through you to other people. You know, the message of go and do it, and you know, any help that I can give you in any way I can give it to you,
it carries on.
It works. Yeah, definitely. So I would love for you to plug your websites and your album one more time so that people can go get it.
September 28th on Soul Spasm. You can get The Everywhere Man by Rich Quick. That's me. On iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, you know, any of these things these kids are using. I don't know what they are. But you can get The Everywhere Man, Everywhere Man. And my website is www.richmfnquick.com. You can find me on all of my social networks at richmfnquick. I'm on all of them, Joe. All the social networks. Except for Periscope. I don't got a Periscope yet.
Why not, man? I should be Periscoping right now.
You got the Periscope?
Yeah, I don't use it all that often. But
I don't use the Periscope. People keep telling me about it, though. I might have to hop on. I'm a Vine guy. I like Vine.
Well, you use Twitter, right?
I do use Twitter.
So you just log in with your Twitter account, and it just posts right to Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. So it's more like an add-on than a social network, per se.
I might have to check out the Periscope.
Vine is cool, though.
I might be on Periscope soon. You never know. Yeah, I like Vine is my favorite. Oh, I got a new one. I got this new one called... I'm not going to get too deep into it. I got this new one called Photo, and it's like GIFs. Check this out, bro. Look, it's like GIFs. Everything is a GIF. It's like Instagram.
Oh, wow.
But GIFs.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so cool. So it's pretty awesome. So anyway, yeah. So you can find me on Photo too, if you got Photo, which you don't. You don't have it. But if you did,
you're right,
I'm on there.
All right, Rich. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time
always
come
a pleasure
here,
man. Thanks for having
in
me
the studio and everything, and to talk about the album and all, and I'm sure I'll have you on again real soon.
Absolutely. You know I'm gonna come back, and hopefully when I come back it's margaritas and tacos and chili and all that like it was last time.
I would highly suspect that it will be.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.